When the right financial advice is essential, talk to a CPA. Visit 360taxes.org for information. Brought to you by the AICPA's Private Companies Practice Section.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
See GE's Profile Appliance Series at your local Home Depot and get rebates up to $500 when you buy two or more Profile appliances through March 27th.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
It's another day of March Madness. It's March and it's 34 degrees and I'm mad.
Yeah.
Snow coming on Sunday.
I'll give it a couple days. Yeah, you'll be... be worse off.
Actually, I don't think we're going to get a lot of snow on Sunday, and here's why I know. My daughter, who is the luckiest human on the planet, is supposed to fly back to college at the end of spring break on Sunday. So don't worry, we won't be getting much
She'll
snow.
She'll be getting back to school.
You know, there's a, I saw in the news this morning, there's a prosecuting attorney, I think, somewhere in the country. I can't remember where.
Butler County, Ohio. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, suing the groundhog?
Yes. You hear about that?
No.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Wait a second. I actually have the story in here. I have a quote from him. His name is Mike. Now, I don't know how you pronounce this name. I've never seen this before. His last name. You know, we have Mark Moser, one of our sales guys,
right, yes,
sales managers here at the Big 550. This guy's name is Mike. And then the last name is G-M-O-S-E-R, like Gemoser?
Gemoser?
Mm. Or do you think the G is silent?
I don't know.
Moser.
When I first, saw it on a website this morning, I said, well, that's got to be a typo. Somebody somebody just hit the capital G accidentally. But I went to a couple other sites. No, that's the guy's name. He is the prosecutor in Butler County, Ohio. He's mad at Punxsutawney Phil because we didn't have an early spring. He actually issued a warrant for Phil's arrest, which reads, on or about February 2nd, 2013, at Gobbler's Knob, Punxsutawney Phil did purposely and with prior calculation and design cause the people to believe that spring would come early. Contrary to the Groundhog Day report, a snowstorm and record low temperatures have been and are predicted to continue in the near future, which constitutes the offense of misrepresentation of early spring. That's an unclassified felony and against the peace and dignity of the state of Ohio. The people further find and specify that due to the aggravating circumstances and misrepresentation to the people, that the death penalty be implemented upon the defendant, Punxsutawney Phil.
I'm with him.
I'm good. I'm good with that.
No problem at all. No problem at all. I do give credit to Phil's handlers, you know, those idiots who dress up in the tuxedos with the top hats and do the whole thing.
Yeah.
One of them named John Griffiths was on CNN a couple of hours ago, and they asked him about this, and he said, well, if you remember, 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, it was like 60 or 65 degrees. Doesn't that count as an early spring?
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, nicely done on everybody's part there, but still, just ridiculously. You know, last year on this day, 59 degrees outside. Now, that's the beginning of springtime.
Right.
Yeah. Not this.
No.
All right, we have Henry Winkler coming up on the show in about 15 minutes. He's in town for the Comic-Con that's going on at America Center through the weekend. He's actually in town, but I'm going to get him on the phone here in a little while. And then later on, we'll have Knuckleheads in the News and the Harris Challenge and Joe Hipperson and Bill Cleveland. No Mike Evans today, right?
No Mike Evans today, correct. He's in a plane.
He's going to an appearance.
He'll be in a
radio
plane.
Station. Yeah. Apparently in a radio station.
In Washington.
Paying him to show up in their town.
Wait, you can get paid by radio station?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's crazy,
isn't it? A second note to self.
A crazy concept.
By the way, I'm Paul Harris. That's Ian. That's Dan. Thank you for listening. Frank is not here today because he's, well, normally I would tell you he's on assignment, but the actual truth is he's too depressed because he didn't get the Tonight Show again.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And his bracket's falling
apart.
He went
for it. His bracket's falling apart.
Yeah, if there's one guy who cares about, it's March Madness.
Yeah, probably. He's devastated. Devastated that Harvard won last night.
Let's talk about this Tonight Show thing. Before I do, let's play a little audio from the two people involved in it. Jay Leno, who is going to be replaced again. NBC is going to keep firing this guy until they get it right. And Jimmy Fallon, who apparently, according to reports this week, is going to get the show next fall. Here they are.
You all excited about March Madness? Into March Madness?
Yeah, man.
People talk about who's in, who's out, who's going to be eliminated, and that's just here at NBC. That's not even counting. I have never been in the paper this much. It's fantastic.
Here's a major sports story. After their comeback over Cleveland last night, the Miami Heat have won an incredible 24 games in a row. It has been so long since the Heat lost. The last time it happened, I had to page my friend on his beeper to tell him about it. That's how long. The last time the Heat lost, Honey Boo Boo, was just what I said to my wife when I got a paper cut.
Really?
The last time the Heat lost, Conan O'Brien was the host of The Tonight Show.
That's what?
Long time ago. Before we get started, I have to talk about the rumors that came out today, which says that I'll be moving up to 11:30, or as my parents call it, still too late. Actually, the rumors are true. NBC is turning The Tonight Show into a diving competition. So exciting.
Okay, all right.
You guys hear about this?
So, I can't believe that they're doing this again. Here's the amazing thing about Jay Leno. Now, I don't particularly like his show. My friend John Max, who you guys have heard me talk to
yes,
on the
absolutely.
Air, used to be a regular contributor to the show for years. He still writes monologue jokes for Jay. So I don't like to publicly diss Leno. I just don't watch the show that much. I don't think it's all that good. I've always been a Letterman guy, and I don't even think Letterman's that good anymore.
Right.
Most nights he seems bored. He doesn't do anything new or interesting.
And gets very political in the past few years.
Well,
too.
During the elections, He certainly did. But then there are nights like earlier this week. I record the show. I don't watch it live, so. I go through and I see who the guests are, and he had on Selena Gomez,
who's in
that new Spring Break movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's four times her age.
Right.
No interest in interviewing her whatsoever. And Carson was kind of like this towards the end of his run, too. It's like, okay, here's some young starlet who's in
let
some
them promote
movie.
Their stuff.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, could not care
this.
Less. Yeah. And it's just boring, so I don't watch that. To me, the only people who are doing anything really, really great in late night are Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. You know, The Daily Show is consistently great night in and night out, and Colbert, I think, is even doing something even more amazing than that, which is improvising in character. You know, when he sits down for his interviews with his guests and does that one-on-one, he doesn't know what they're going to say. He knows what his questions are, and his writers have probably come up with some ideas about where things are going to go, but he quite often is just winging it in character. That's a very, very tough thing to do, and I give him credit for that. There's not a lot of improvisation on the other late-night shows. There's no surprises. All the questions are written out ahead of time. They already know what the answers are going to be from the stories that they told the producers ahead of time. Nothing impromptu ever happens on any of these shows. I will say about Jimmy Fallon that his show can be clever, and he does seem to be having a lot of fun, and you know, he does a lot of the musical stuff by getting these artists to do things that you wouldn't expect them to do. You know, Springsteen coming back and pretending he was the Springsteen from Born to Run.
Right.
And singing a song with him and doing Whip My Hair, the Willow Smith song. And
he had Dave Matthews playing a game and stuff. And,
yeah.
And, yeah.
All that stuff, it's obviously, it's like we're putting out a show that's fun, which you don't get a lot of from the other people. Jimmy Kimmel, now that he's on in the earlier slot at 10:30, I think he can do some clever stuff, too, but whenever I see him doing the monologue, it always seems like he has no confidence in the material because he's always rushing, like he doesn't believe there's going to be a laugh, and so he's right on to the next joke
a
little bit too quickly. And even then, it really just comes down to who the guests are. none of these hosts make me go, ooh, I have to watch this. Craig Ferguson used to be good. I used to be interested in that. His monologues used to be clever. Now, nothing special going on there. It's like he's in a rut. So,
Conan. Don't forget Conan.
I forgot about Conan. Once he went to TBS, there was a little bit of excitement at the beginning, but do you ever think to yourself, ooh, I got to see what Conan's doing tonight?
No.
No.
The other thing about The Tonight Show is too many of these people are still thinking of it as Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. It's been 21 freaking years.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
Doing the same exact format and everything, yeah.
But it used to have the cachet of, wow, it's Carson's Tonight Show. No. For 21 years, it's been Leno's Tonight Show. That's what you're inheriting when you're taking that over, and that's not as impressive. There's no legacy there.
Have they said already they're keeping the name for Fallon?
It's going to be The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, starting fall of 2014, so 18 sure. months from wow. now. I don't know what Jay Leno's going to do. It's not like, you see, now it's interesting. Last time we went through this, when Conan was given The Tonight Show, and people were like, well, what's Jay going to do? Remember, ABC had not moved Jimmy Kimmel up yet. They still had Nightline at 10:30, and then Kimmel came on at 11. Well, so Jay Leno can't go to ABC now and say, well, I'll do your 11:30 show. They're going to go, well, no, we have Jimmy Kimmel
right.
there now.
Yeah.
CBS has Letterman, and he'll certainly stick around until after Jay's been off the air for a while. He's already broken Carson's 30-year record. He's 31 or 32 now. So what's Jay going to do? I think he'll probably leave TV. He can't go to Fox because the Fox
affiliates make so much money on their
Seinfeld.
Just putting Seinfeld in Office on, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, a lot of them, like here, have a show, a newscast on at 10 o'clock,
right.
which is where Fox could put it on. So that's not going to happen, and Jay's not going to go into syndication. He's not going to go on to some other network like Conan did. He'll just kind of disappear
TNT
off the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't see that happening. So
maybe own.
Jay and Oprah.
Oprah and Jay. Oh, man. See, here's the thing about Leno. He has all the money already.
Yeah. Right.
Because he still goes out and performs in Vegas and other places around the country. He still does weekend gigs, flies in on his private plane, as he used to say in the old days, write joke, tell joke, get check, go home. That's what it was for him in the stand-up days, and he still does that, and it makes an enormous amount of money.
And maybe he'll continue doing that
of course
maybe do that a lot more.
I think that's what he'll do.
Yeah.
The thing about NBC messing around with that is, you got to remember, whether you like Jay Leno or not, he's still number one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I keep hearing these things, too, about, his crowd is a lot older. But he's still winning, I think, the 18 to 49 demo.
Kimmel's chipping away at it a little bit. And maybe Fallon can do better. But they said the same thing about Conan, and that didn't work.
Right.
You also got to remember that at NBC, they're losing in prime time, big time.
Losing everything. In the mornings now?
The other night in prime time, NBC was seventh behind a Spanish network and two cable channels.
Oh, my goodness.
For one of their shows. Yeah, they've lost the Today Show. Is losing.
Matt Lauer's on the chopping block.
Yeah. The only thing else on that network that gets ratings is Saturday Night Live and Brian Williams doing the news at 5:30. Everything else is a failure.
And they're focusing on the one thing that's number one.
So let Jay, all right, let me look at your numbers. You are number one. You're fired.
Yeah. We can't have this. We're going to have to.
We have all these other things that are 3, 4, 15.
Seventh.
We got to get you down.
But how do you change just the sitcoms and things like that and dramas? I mean, that's.
That's not
focusing on one person.
I remember when Conan went into The Tonight Show. And Leno went to 10 o'clock. Remember, he had five nights a week. He was on, well, it was
9 o'clock.
O'clock here, right. He had that slot. It was weird because he was still doing the top 10 at 10. Like, he was on at 10 o'clock everywhere in the country, and he forgets that we're part
Huge
of the country,
part of the
too.
Country, yes. Yeah. It was at 9.
Then his ratings weren't that great. But interestingly enough, his ratings in that 9 o'clock slot were better than anything NBC has on any night at 9 o'clock now. Plus, they always used to say, well, you know, the primetime programming, that affects the late night programming, and that affects the morning show programming.
Right.
Okay, primetime's losing, Jay is winning, morning's losing. How do you blame him? It's not like people don't like the Today Show, so they don't watch the Tonight Show. It would work the other way around. You'd think, well, they watch the Tonight Show when they get up, it's going to be on Channel 5, they're still going to watch that, but people don't watch TV that way anymore. So what do you think about this?
I don't know. I just can't imagine what it's like to be Jay and reading all this stuff again. It's and he'll sit and take it just because that's the kind of guy he is. If it was anybody else, I would think, you think Dave would have taken these two?
Well, Dave owns the show. That's, right, that's yes. the difference. Dave
but
owns
say,
his own show.
Let's say hypothetically he didn't, and he was just...
he'd walk out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. He certainly wouldn't come out every night and, hey, we're just having fun.
Right.
I'm just poking a little bit of fun at NBC.
That's just
we got a great show, everybody.
That's a TNMB thing. Yeah, elimination.
So
I just say it's management.
Blame it on management?
Blame it on management because they are just idiots. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, at that network, they certainly don't. They were complaining about Jay making jokes about NBC being in fifth place. That's what late-night hosts have done forever.
Right.
Yes. Carson used to do that all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So then here's the other question. Who replaces Jimmy Fallon once he takes over The Tonight Show?
Conan.
No,
Jay Leno.
No, that's not going to work. They got to find something. I think that they should try something new. I think you have to get away from the traditional monologue, sit down at a desk, have a band, interview starlets kind of thing. I don't know what that new thing would be. Maybe can you do sketch comedy 5 nights a week, or maybe 4 nights a week for an hour at 11:30?
Or give a guy that has a huge cable show and ratings, like a Daniel Tosh, a show. Can he be curbed into to be not as, because his show is pretty abrasive.
Yeah.
On Comedy Central.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think the people who are on Comedy Central, including Stewart and Colbert and Tosh and all these other
But I've
guys,
always heard the money is not that great there.
At Comedy Central?
Yeah.
Only for Stewart and Colbert.
Those two. But I've heard everybody else.
They get bigger ratings with their cable shows than some of these
right.
late-night shows.
Yeah, and I'm sure they get big bucks for that. But I've heard all the ancillary
players. I
don't
think Anthony Jeselnik is making a lot of money with his show.
I bring back Montel Williams with Sylvia Brown.
Maybe you go to one of these successful podcasters. You know, Kevin Pollak has a very successful podcast that draws millions of listeners. Adam Carolla has one. Mark Maron has one. The problem is all those guys in their late 40s or 50s. That's not going to draw a younger demo.
Right.
Listen to these guys talk forever. Maybe it's time for a woman to do the show.
Arsenio Hall's coming back, I hear, in the fall.
Yes, he is. That's right. He is.
And what network is he going to be
on? He's going to be syndicated. I don't know where he's going to air in St. Louis.
If we pick it up, yeah.
So somebody said to me, well, how about Ellen DeGeneres? She'd be perfect. No, Ellen is the queen of daytime. She's not going to give that up to risk a late-night show, particularly when it's not the prime late-night show.
Yeah, I don't know why you would...
Chelsea Handler? No.
No.
I don't know what they're going to do, and they don't know what they're going to do, but I know what we're going to do, and that is take a break and then come back with Henry Winkler next here on the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
And let's have a look at traffic right now, see how things are rolling with Tim Weiland.
Hi, Dan. Hey, I think that prosecutor's name is Gamosier.
Gamosier?
Gamosier.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Well, I knew a Chris Gamosier, and they spelled it the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
And it is pronounced prosecutor?
Prosecutor.
Okay. I thought the P was silent.
Took him a second.
I was saying Rosecutor Moser.
Yeah.
But well, Prosecutor Gamosier? Okay.
Well, the way you ask it, you've got me questioning. Did I say that? Hey, we've got a couple of accidents out there. A pretty serious one out in Warren County. It's on westbound 70 at the 199 mile marker, and it's a rollover accident. We just got another one that just came over the scanner, westbound 64 at Ballas. Other than that, it's heavy. Boy, this morning there was no traffic out there, and this afternoon you are really stacking up now from about the Clayton Road overpass down through Big Bend. Of course, that's where the construction's going on southbound 270. All we're looking at westbound 70, slowing down the Earth City Expressway to the Blanchette Bridge. Eastbound 270, find it slow right at Lindbergh, again at 170. And this traffic report is brought to you by Sonic. Spicy and sweet team up to tackle your hunger. Grab an order of the new spicy jumbo popcorn chicken and sweet potato tots at Sonic today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
You don't have to be an egg-spert to participate in the Hunt for a Cure Egg Hunt from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society tomorrow, beginning at 11 a.m. It all takes place at Forest Park Central Fields, and it's only $5 per family to participate. The Big 550, as one of the media sponsors, will be there, and the LLS Easter Bunny will arrive by helicopter. For more on this exceptionally exciting event, go to lls.org or ktrs.com.
You can't beat G&W Meat. That's G&W Bavarian Style Sausage Company, a family-owned St. Louis tradition since 1965. G&W makes over 30 varieties of sausage on-site in South City. Stop by the full-service meat market for old-fashioned service and a free Bavarian beverage while you shop. G&W has been the place to get your deer processed separately during deer season, and now they offer venison summer sausage and deer sticks made from farm-raised deer for sale year-round. G&W Bavarian Style Sausage Company has been serving St. Louis for over 48 years. G&W's famous bratwurst is served at Grant's Farm and inside Gus's Pretzels. Plus, G&W sausage can be found throughout St. Louis at supermarkets, meat markets, convenience stores, and restaurants. Visit the shop Tuesday through Saturday at 4828 Parker Avenue, just off Kings Highway, one block south of Filer, or shop online at gwsausage.com. That's G&W Bavarian Style Sausage Company. You can't beat G&W Meat.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. could settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-300-6122. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to resolve your debt faster than you ever thought possible. But you should act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you could save. 1-800-300-6122. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-300-6122. That's 1-800-300-6122. 1-800-300-6122.
If you've settled a lawsuit, waiting for those tiny settlement checks every month is like a slow form of torture. A little bit of money comes dribbling in, but it's not nearly enough to cover your bills. So the pain of being in debt just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But now you can end the wait by getting the cash you need in one lump sum payment. For free information to see how much cash you can get, call Peachtree Settlement Funding now at 1-800-900-9954. You can get the cash you need in one lump sum. Cash you can use to pay off your credit card debt, pay your monthly mortgage payment, or pay any other bills that are piling up. So stop waiting for those tiny monthly payments from a lawsuit you settled. Find out how you can receive a lump sum payment to get the money you need. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding now at 1-800-900-9954. 1-800-900-9954.
Everybody loves hardwood floors, and everybody pays a premium, except if you call Boardwalk Hardwood Floors. They have pricing direct from the factory, which means lower prices for you. Boardwalk Hardwood Floors has been around well over 15 years and now have three locations in Crestwood, Manchester, and in St. Peter's. It's a locally owned and operated company, so you're not paying for national advertising. They have installation classes, and they'll teach you everything you need to know to save even more money. Better yet, if that's not your style, they'll find you somebody who will install the hardwood floors from Boardwalk Hardwood Floors, and you'll still save big. Huge selections of colors and styles in stock and always at the best price. If you're thinking about installing hardwood floors and setting off your house just right, Boardwalk Hardwood Floors is the only way to go. 314-730-3100. That's 314-730-3100 or boardwalkhardwood.com. Three locations, Crestwood, Manchester, and in St. Peter's. Locally owned and operated, Boardwalk Hardwood Floors.
Did you know canine athletes have at least twice the athletic endurance of human athletes? That's why Purina Pro Plan Dog Food offers fine-tuned, advanced nutrition formulated to help fuel your dog's natural athleticism. Join the Pro Plan Facebook page today for exclusive Facebook fan offers and help your dog excel on his journey towards achieving greatness. Purina Pro Plan, available at pet specialty retailers.
You can apply for financing on a five-piece living room set at a big furniture store, or you can get the same five-piece living room set at Rent-A-Center. So what's the difference?
Unfortunately, you don't qualify.
Why not?
Well, looks like you bounced a check back in 1987.
With the Rack Flex plan, everyone's pre-approved, and each agreement includes a 90-day same-as-cash option, so you never have to worry about credit rejection.
I'm not rejecting you. The computer is.
Rent-A-Center.
See store for details. Pre-approved means no credit check or credit required. Rental purchase transaction 90 days, same as cash, not valid in Vermont.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Happy to welcome Henry Winkler back to the show. Henry has had a four-decade career, but will always best be known as the Fonz on Happy Days. By the way, that career has included a lot of movies, Night Shift, The One and Only, Click, The Waterboy. He's produced TV series like MacGyver and Hollywood Squares. He produced a couple of Dallas reunions before it came back as a new show on TNT. He has written some 20-plus books for kids, including the very popular Hank Zipser series. And in recent years, he's been a cast member of Children's Hospital on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim block. He's had recurring roles on Royal Pains and Hero Factory. And now he's here in St. Louis for this weekend's Wizard World Comic Con at America's Center. He's here for the first time in St. Louis, and I'm happy to have him back on the show. Hi, Henry. How are you?
I am unbelievably good.
Last time you and I talked was when you were coming out with one of your first Hank Zipser books, which, by the way, every time you sent me one, or your publisher sent me one, I gave it to my daughter, who was young then, and she absolutely loved them.
Oh, thank you.
How many of them did you end up writing?
We wrote 23 novels altogether, and there are 17 Hanks, and now there are 3 Ghost Buddies. And I wrote one adult book about fly fishing for trout, which is my favorite thing to do when I'm not working.
Mm-hmm. The Zipser books, as I recall from our first conversation about them, is about a kid who has dyslexia based on you, which you had. And I'm curious now, as a man, you know, well into adulthood, have you beaten dyslexia or do you still suffer from it?
You know what? You never beat dyslexia. What you do is you learn to negotiate it. Honestly, the most important thing for teachers and parents is keeping the child who learns differently, who really knows, believe me, they know internally that they're not keeping up, keeping their self-image buoyed. Because if a child is comfortable, they can absorb. If a child is anxious because they know they're not keeping up, they're made fun of, they're put down, those children will shut down.
And have you heard from kids who have read Hank Zipser books and said, you know what, I can relate to this, this is the problem I had, or maybe they didn't even know they had dyslexia until the book was read to them?
You know what, that is exactly what happened. I'm going to have some books with me, you know, at Wizard World.
Yep.
Some Hank Zipser, some Ghost Buddies, some of the fly fishing book. But the thing that kids write, there are two things. One is they all seem to use the same word. They say you're hilarious. So because they're comedies first,
mm-hmm.
They're meant to just entertain them. And number two, they say, how did you know me so well?
Because you were that kid.
I am that kid.
I didn't mean to put it in the past tense. I'm sorry.
Reading is still hard. I can't spell.
Yep.
I can't even depend on spell check. The computer yells at me.
Which is why your co-author Lynn Oliver exists.
That is true. She is a wonderful, wonderful friend. And together, if we don't make each other laugh, it doesn't go in the book.
Yeah. As I was mentioning all of your credits, besides the writing credits, I left one out, which, of course, was your work on Arrested Development.
We just finished the new season, and it starts in the spring on Netflix.
Yeah, you're playing Barry again?
I play Barry again.
What was it like to get back with everybody? It's been so long since you actually did the series on Fox. Did everybody just fall right back into the same rhythm?
You know what? It's like riding a bike. it was, first of all, it was great to see everybody, because everybody is now, you know, flourishing out in the world. And it just is, it's just fantastic.
So how many episodes will we be getting on Netflix?
Well, I think 10 right away.
And are they doing the same thing with that they did with House of Cards, which is release them all at once and let people watch them?
I believe so.
I'm curious, because you're a producer, a director, and a guy with all of these years in the business as an actor as well, what you think of Netflix's business plan in releasing all the episodes at once and just telling people to watch them.
It is, it's incredible, because take a show like Breaking Bad.
Yep.
So we came to it a little late.
Me too.
And we found, a whole season on Netflix and Amazon, and we were then able to watch three or four at a time, because you wanted more right away,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have to wait. And
yeah.
I thought that was just sensational.
That's exactly the experience I had with Breaking Bad. I had never watched the show until a year ago, and then I saw they were streaming on Netflix, and I would watch one, and then I would watch another one, and I'd watch another one, and, you know, I'd be 6 hours into it and go, I have to leave the house now!
You know what? It's absolutely true. I know that feeling. And your jaw drops. You can't believe what you're watching. And you have to walk away. You have to pry yourself away from the television.
Now, everybody knows you from the Happy Days Jump the Shark episode, which, of course, became famous. And you and I have talked about that before.
Yes.
And you parodied that in an Arrested Development episode.
I'm the only actor in the universe who has jumped the shark twice.
Will you be doing a third shark jump?
Not that I know of. In this one, I wear one of the most outrageous costumes. Mitch Hurwitz, who is the head of Arrested Development, is so brilliant, and a lot of it happens right on the stage. You're doing something that he wrote, and he hears something that he thinks is funnier, and all of a sudden, you can't keep a straight face from your own self,
mm-hmm.
because what he just told you to say was so incredible.
So you're allowed to improvise and come up with new stuff?
Yes, but, you know, you can improvise, and he lets you go, but he is very clear about his vision.
After all the projects that you've worked on, when you come on to a set, whether it's Arrested Development or Children's Hospital or anything else, what do you want from the director?
You know what? I'll tell you exactly right. I don't think there are many actors who are really good at what they do, who don't need a third eye, who don't need somebody who is objectively looking and helping to shape. So you want someone with a point of view. And in that point of view, in the structure of that point of view, comes your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that is also why what I love about Wizard World is that I get to meet everybody who watches these different projects, and the people that I would never get a chance to say hello to.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really just fantastic.
Yep.
Because I don't sit behind the table. You know, I stand in front of the table, so I look people right in the eye and get to have a moment with them. It's really a terrific experience for me.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Henry Winkler, who is in town today through Sunday for Wizard World Comic-Con at America's Center, and he will be here Friday and Saturday and Sunday doing Q&As and meeting people. I have one other directing question for you, since we got off on that a moment ago. 1988, you directed a feature film with Billy Crystal and Alan King called Memories of Me, which I thought was just a wonderful, heartwarming, and oh-so-funny movie.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, at that point, Alan King had been in show business 300 years.
Yes, that is true.
So what do you tell him? I mean, here's the opposite side of it.
There are two things you do. You point the camera and hope you get his instinct and his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had one argument, rest his soul. He was going on an audition in the movie. He was an extra in the movie business, and now he was getting an audition for a speaking role.
Which all extras desperately want.
Okay. And he came to the set dressed to the nines.
Mm-hmm.
But he was dressed as the well-to-do Alan King. He had a beautiful coat on and a tie and a silk handkerchief coming out of his lapel. And I said, I'm so sorry. You look so handsome, but that's not your character.
Mm.
Your character cannot dress like the well-to-do, successful Alan King.
Right.
And we argued for 20 minutes. He went downstairs. He put on his costume. And he gave what I think is one of the best performances of his life.
I agree with you. I agree. How did you get drawn to that project? I know Billy wrote it, and he was going to star in it. How did
well,
you
Billy
become the director?
Billy came and asked me.
Oh, yeah?
If I would direct the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I adore that movie. I mean, you know, it just is so emotional for me,
mm-hmm.
that movie. The son, the father-son relationship. As a matter of fact, the man who Alan Ladd's son, Alan Ladd Jr., who ran studios, and he was running MGM at the time,
mm-hmm.
where we made the movie, when he screened it the first time, he came out of the screening room crying and said, oh my God, that hit so close to home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one I'd like to see again. It's a long time since I've seen it, but
yeah,
I remember,
long time.
Remember loving it when it first came out.
I enjoyed that experience.
I'd like to go back a little bit further even than that to a movie you did during the run of Happy Days called Night Shift.
One of my all-time favorites that I was in.
Directed by your very good friend Ron Howard.
Ron Howard's first major studio film.
Was it a conscious decision by you at the height of the Fonz's fame? I'm sorry.
For the Ladd Company, also for Alan Ladd Jr.
Oh. Was it a conscious decision by you at the height of the fame as for the Fonz to play against type and let Michael Keaton have the breakout role as the wacky guy?
Exactly. Ron Howard said to me, you can have either role. And I thought to myself, well, I played the Fonz, which was Billy Blaze.
Yep.
I'm going to play Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose Chuck. And Ron was very nervous because it was his first major studio film. And he was so worried because he was so young. He was worried that the crew might not respect him or listen to him. And, of course, knowing Ron, as I did at the time, he is a most powerful or personally powerful human being. The crew hung on every word.
Wow.
As they do today. He just finished another major film about Formula One racing.
Oh.
I think he's putting the finishing touches on it now.
Did Michael Keaton come to you at that time and ask you for any kind of advice since this was his first major role?
No, we never talked about that. He instinctually knew what to do. He was so funny. Ron and I met almost every young actor in Hollywood for that role,
mm-hmm.
where I would read with them in order to audition. And Michael was one of the last actors to come in. We met 30, 40 actors. And within 30 seconds, Ron looked at me, and Michael owned the role. And well, he also is a, he loves fly fishing. He loves to go to Montana.
Well, he was a great choice in that role, as, by the way, was Shelley Long, who I don't think Cheers was on the air yet, so that was a breakout performance by her, too.
Yeah. She was great, but, you know, it was on the air.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. And we were both on the lot at Paramount Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Both shows were shot at Paramount Studios. As a matter of fact, Scott Baio right now is doing a show for TV Land, which is being shot on Stage 19, where we did Happy Days for 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, I just love the circle of life.
Yeah. Speaking of things you've done with Ron Howard, when President Obama was running at the time as Senator Obama for president in 2008, he did a very funny thing for Funny or Die that was essentially a campaign ad for Barack Obama.
Yes.
And you appeared in it, and so did Andy Griffith.
Well, he came to us by, he came to me, and he said, look, this is far out, but I really think we need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally believe in this man. Let's make this video, except you're going to have to dress up as the Fonz. I said, if you do it, I'm in. And we're in the trailer getting our makeup, putting on, you know, a wig that looks like Fonzie.
Yep.
Ron is putting on wig on a wig so that he could have hair. And we're talking about our children and about credit cards and girls spending a gigantic amount on a credit card. We're just talking about life.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking to the set dressed as Richie and Fonzie, talking as dads. I leaned against the car, the 1950s car, and we were immediately thrown 30 years back instantaneously without ever missing a beat.
Mm.
It was surreal. And then it got millions and millions of hits.
I'm sure he had the same thing, but even more so in the scenes that he did with Andy Griffith.
Well, you know, Andy Griffith was living in North Carolina at the time.
Yep.
And so the scenes, I believe, if I'm not giving a secret away, were done green screen.
Oh, really?
So Andy was shot, and then they were in two different locations.
Ah, okay. So he didn't have that warm feeling that he had with you.
Oh, he never lost that warm feeling for Andy. He adores Andy. And the memory of Andy, absolutely.
Henry, I have to ask you a couple of internet true or false questions here.
Yes, go ahead. Things
that appear online, and I don't know if they're correct about you or not.
All right, let's go.
True or false, the motorcycle you rode on Happy Days was the same motorcycle Steve McQueen rode in The Great Escape in the big finale.
Made me crazy, because I was in the 10th grade when The Great Escape came out.
One of the greatest movies ever.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't breathe after I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that, well, the first motorcycle that I used on Happy Days was a Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just too big for me. So they then got me this bike, and this was the Triumph that Steve McQueen used in The Great Escape at the end of the movie when he jumped the fence.
Wow. And that was, what, 10 years later? Something
yeah,
like that?
I couldn't believe it.
That's tremendous. But I also read online that you never actually rode the bike on camera, because the first time you tried...
I rode it twice.
Oh, you did?
Once I rode it up the driveway, which was used in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove it 5 feet on a soundstage.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I almost smashed into the sound truck. The bike and I, we fell over.
Uh-huh.
It slid under the truck, took me with it, and they pulled the bike out as fast as they could because they rented it, and then they remembered I was under that truck. But, you know, now there is a movie on cable that we did that came out in October that I love, called Here Comes the Boom.
Mm-hmm.
With Kevin James.
Yeah.
And what is surprising is that there's a movie in there that you don't expect. It's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of that movie.
You have done several movies with stand-up comedians, including 4 movies with Adam Sandler.
Yes.
How did you make that connection?
I called Adam Sandler when I first heard the Hanukkah song.
Uh-huh.
And I called him up to thank him for including me. And he said, oh, my God, I've got a collection of your stuff. And I said, it would be a pleasure to sign it for you. And then I was invited to be in The Waterboy, and the rest is history. Then I did Click, and I still take the quarter trick that I didn't click everywhere I go. As a matter of fact, I brought it to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be doing it this weekend at Comic-Con?
I do it for kids. They are amazed. But I need them to know just what kind of greatness they're standing in front of.
All right, let me get the plug in again. Wizard World Comic Con at America Center. It's the first time we've had the con in St. Louis. It's going on today and tomorrow and Sunday. By the way, Sunday is Kids Day, where kids 10 and under can get in for free with a paid adult ticket. Henry Winkler, Billy Dee Williams, Stan Lee, James Marsters, Dean Cain, Tom Felton, who plays Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to come by and say hi to you.
I hope so, because it's great to shake hands and hug people who have been so supportive and so warm over the years.
And I hope some kids come up with their Hank Zipser books and tell you some stories.
Or they can get one at the table.
There you go. Henry, a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The best.
Henry Winkler, who, by the way, may be the nicest guy in show business.
Seems like it.
Doesn't he just come off as, okay, I'll tell you this story, I'll tell you that story, whatever you want. What a pleasure. Welcome to St. Louis, Henry.
And we're going to see how the highways look right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, Dan, looks like on westbound 70, it's out near Wright City, that highway is completely shut down. You've got a serious accident with injuries. It's right around the exit 200, so you might want to use an alternate route. You can follow a detour out there. Southbound 270, that thing is really backing up now from Olive down through Big Bend. On westbound 70, it's slow as you approach 270 to the Blanchette Bridge. Eastbound 270 is slowing midway between McDonnell and Lindbergh. Through New Florissant downtown, eastbound 64, slowing from Busch Stadium to the Poplar Street Bridge. Looks like we've got that accident also westbound 64 at Spady. That's off on the right shoulder, but traffic is backing up to Lindbergh. This traffic report is brought to you by Allstate. Don't let mayhem leave you stranded. Be protected with the Good Hands Roadside Assistance from Allstate. It's free to join and open to everyone. Plus, there's no annual fees, and you only pay when you use it. Register at allstate.com/roadside. Are you in good hands? From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, what's happening? I'm Wright Brand Bacon, the bigger, better bacon. When you bite into Wright Brand Bacon, it's like DJ Bacon dropping a beat in a packed bacon disco in your mouth. I'm so meaty and delicious, I'm like meat candy. When you fry me up, I smell so good, it draws a crowd like free money. I'm so tender.
Wright Brand Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
St. Louis Closet Company can truly help you create a place for everything in your home. Call today at 314-781-9000 to schedule your free in-home estimate. St. Louis Closet Company, 314-781-9000.
KTRS St. Louis.
Live and local.
Depend on it.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Brunswick, Georgia have made two arrests in the